Well, welcome to Local Matters. Our guest today is Nick Duncan, the headmaster at Highland Rim Academy. Nick, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm delighted that you could take some time with us, and we'll learn a great deal more about Highland Rim as we go through this. So some of our audience may not know you, so tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to be where you are today.
Sure. The long story is I grew up, you could probably hear it in my voice, I'm a hillbilly. I grew up in East Tennessee, Western North Carolina, in the Appalachian Mountains, and my dad's a pastor, my mom is a public school teacher, and they both still do that, and I just loved school growing up, and so always thought at one point maybe I wanted to be an architect, and then I realized how much math was involved there. And that wasn't always my strong suit.
I wanted to be an astronaut. Same thing. The math got me.
Yeah. So that became a stumbling block for me. But I just always loved school. And so went to Tennessee Tech, where I graduated from. You were president there at the time. And I graduated 2011 and worked in town at a place called Herring, Glass, and Mirror for a while.
Sure.
And just wasn't sure what the Lord might have for me. And someone called me from Highland Rim Academy, and I'd always gone to public school and never really considered private school at all. And the headmaster at the time had me read an essay by a lady named Dorothy Sayers. It was in the 40s. She gave an address to school teachers as they were graduating in England, and it was that talk has been turned into an essay that's become popular in the last 30 years called The Lost Tools of Learning, and I read that and just loved what she had to say, and felt like it was really applicable to just culture and what the Lord was doing in my life. And so I started teaching at Highland Rim several years ago. I've been there. This is my seventh school year, I believe, and taught there for 3 years, and I've been in administration for 4 years and just have kind of never looked. I drank the Kool-Aid after reading that essay. So.
Lost Tools of Learning. Well, that sounds like something we need to talk about here in a minute or two. We are talking to Nick Duncan, the headmaster at Highland Rim Academy, and there's some exciting things going on there. So tell us a little bit about your mission and about what's happening at the school.
Sure, I'd love to. Our vision, kind of the textbook vision that we have, is to graduate young men and women who have been transformed by the gospel and sharpened by rigorous academic pursuit for the purpose of cultural reformation and a life committed to servant leadership. And so there's lots of kind of buzzwords you hear in there. It's really, we say it, we're trying to do two things. We're hoping that the Lord will do two things in our students for two things. And so you hear transformed by the gospel. Our school is a classical school, but it's also a Christian school. And so we have a statement of faith that we believe outlines from the scriptures who God is and who man is, and how he created us to be. And so we believe that in order to be in right standing before him, that the good news of what his son has done, we just came through Easter season.
Yep.
That he, you know, they said he is not here, he is risen. And everything we do flows out of that belief, that we believe that Jesus rose bodily and ascended to the right hand of his Father. And one day he's going to come back. And so transformed by the gospel is very important to us. Also, you hear sharpened by rigorous academic pursuit. So we say we're a rigorous program. That's a little bit more about the kind of the classical side and the rigor. And we expect our students to work hard and to be sharpened by that. And we say well-rounded is not a bad term, but we like to say we want to make them sharp, like arrows that'll go out that we can use, kind of like weapons, and to do the Lord's work. And then so sharpened and transformed for two purposes, cultural renewal and also being servant leaders, as both of those things are embodied again in our Savior. And so the Lord told his disciples when he was on earth that he said he wanted to wash their feet, and they were abhorred by that. They thought that was awful. It's a disgusting job. They wore sandals and they walked around in filth. And how could the Lord ask to do that?
Got pretty dirty.
It got pretty dirty. And so, but he was willing to do that. So we don't want education and knowledge just to puff up. The more we learn, the more we should realize there's a lot more we really don't know. And so we say we want our students to be lifelong learners and to serve their neighbor. And so be willing to do those jobs that nobody else wants to do. Kind of proverbially washing feet, we say.
Well, that's great. That that is a unique approach. And for a student, it's got to be a an humbling experience, but also an outstanding experience for them too.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, tell us about your students. How many students attend, and do they come from all over the Upper Cumberland or all over the world?
Right. Yeah, those are good questions. So we have just north of 140 students this year in K through 12. And so we've graduated now. I believe this will be our fifth or sixth graduating class. So we've been around for 12 years. This is our 12th school year. And we've been graduating students for roughly half of that time. And of the 140 students, the bulk of them are in our kindergarten through eighth grade. And we have some of those bigger classes now coming up into our high school. And so we've graduated somewhere between 15 and 20 graduates in our first 5 years. And those classes are getting bigger every year. And they are from all over the Upper Cumberland. We serve, most of our students are from Putnam County, but we have students from many students from Overton County and White County, especially kind of that 111 corridor there.
Mm-hmm.
But we have had students that have come as far away as Byrdstown and Spencer. So
wow.
Yeah. We've had students from DeKalb County and Jackson County. And so we've had students that have, a lot of them carpool. We don't have a bus system like I grew up with in public schools. And so a lot of carpooling, a lot of communication, but it's a close-knit family. So that works well for us.
Well, that's great. And with that size, it obviously is a family. You get to, the student gets to experience some things that maybe they lose in a public school setting.
Yeah, we have a pretty great, what we consider is a great student-teacher ratio. Our official policies say 16 to 1, but most of our classes average 9 or 10 students right now in each grade. And so they just get a lot of time from their teachers and who are really the backbone of everything that we do. They're great folks.
This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Nick Duncan, the headmaster at Highland Rim Academy. And Nick, we're delighted that you're here with us. Tell us about your curriculum a little bit. Tell us some of the things that are in that daily learning experience.
Sure. So what we do with our curriculum and our scope and sequence, we say, is the new old way. And what we mean by that with classical education is that we're really leaning into an education model that existed in Western civilization. It started in the Greco-Roman world and really came all the way up and really became a formula in the medieval world. And you can read medieval authors when they talk about education, they talk about the liberal arts and specifically the seven liberal arts. And so we break those into what our schools do is we break those into three and four. We divide those seven into the first three and the last four. And the first three are grammar, logic, and rhetoric. And so those are subjects that we teach. People are probably familiar with saying grammar school, coming up in grammar school, kindergarten through fifth grade. We use that language. We also talk about logic school and rhetoric school. And so for us, grammar, logic, and rhetoric are subjects that we teach. We teach grammar, of course, when the children are young. We teach them informal and formal logic when the students get into those middle school age years, kind of seventh, eighth, ninth grade. As I'm sure many of your listeners will be familiar who have ever been around teenagers, they like to argue. And so we think that's because that's how God created us. There becomes a point where our brain develops to where what, when, where, and because mom and dad said so aren't good enough anymore. Now we want to know why. Well, how? Well, why do I have to clean my room? Why do I have to be home at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or whatever curfew is? And so those things are, we lean into those things. So we teach them how to create good arguments from a place of reason and understanding and truth, because we love truth and we value that. And then when the students get into the high school years, we focus on rhetoric. And so they learn how to, now that we hope, Lord willing, they know how to craft a good argument, how do they speak that argument well? For the good of their neighbor and for the good of everyone around them, even so they can communicate well with a spouse one day or with their children. And so so that's a general outworking of our curriculum. Those are classes we teach, but they also, again, give us a framework for how we believe children develop. So we would say that there's a grammar to everything, not just words. We would say there's a grammar to numbers and to history. There are kind of these basic building blocks we have to know. In that logic stage, our curriculum kind of caters and our teachers start to cater more towards discussion. We do a lot of what we call Socratic circles. When Socrates would teach, he would just ask his pupils, he would say, why? And they would give an answer. And he would keep going back. He would say, well, why? Well, why? Well, why? And as frustrating as our students think that is sometimes, it forces the learning on them. And so if you come to our classes in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, you'll see a lot of that. Kids sitting in circles and discussing kind of big kind of theorizing questions. And then when you get into the high school, the rhetoric stage is a lot about production for our students. So they're producing, we hope, their own art, their own music, their own arguments. And that's kind of capstoned by our senior thesis. Our students spend all year working on one project where they have a thesis and they argue that thing, that topic, a 15 to 20 page paper, and they boil it down to a few pages and they give a declamation, and the faculty come and ask them questions extemporaneously that they have to answer. And so it's a great event. They always do well, and it's just really fun to watch.
But it's a great experience for them to do that. This is Local Matters. We are talking to Nick Duncan, the headmaster at Highland Rim Academy, and we will be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, welcome back. We're talking to Nick Duncan, and Nick, you talked about that classical education that your students go through, and you mentioned first that they were that at some point in life, 9, 10 years old, all of a sudden argument becomes a sort of natural thing. I think Mark Twain said when the student gets to be 12. Parents should put them in a wooden oak barrel and feed them through a knothole. And I think it was that argumentative stage that he was talking about. Then he said at 16, you plug up the knothole, which I think meant let the student get out on their own at
That's
that
right.
point. So, but classical education, the Socratic method that you're teaching and that you're using in those Socratic circles, It applies in about every kind of vocation that somebody could go to. I know the Toyota Manufacturing Company, part of the Toyota production method is the seven whys. And when you, here in America, we sometimes call that peeling the onion, but it is discovery. It is really discovery of a deeper kind of feeling. So, that has to be a great experience for your students.
It really is, and it really puts them in position to, like you said, succeed just in life. I mean, we think that, you know, job training is important, but we think that human beings were created to work, but to do more than just work. They were created to be good family members, and in our context, we think be good church members, be good citizens. How do we love our neighbor when we go to a ballot box to vote?
Right.
And so having them discuss and think about those things deeply, and these are just normal kids. I mean, sometimes people hear this stuff and they think, oh, man, those kids are so smart. They really are just normal. These are just Upper Cumberland regular students. They're your neighbors. And so but they're capable. Students are capable of a lot more than what I think we generally give them credit for. And so they think deeply about these things. And we talk about, you know, for those that want to go into medicine one day, it's not enough just to know what medicine is. We need to know what medicine is for. Medicine is for giving life. And unfortunately, we get that, in my view, we get that twisted a lot of times, and we use medicine for things like death. And so asking those sorts of questions sets them up to be a good worker, but also just to be a good human. And we talk about that. What does it mean to be human? That's kind of the big overarching question. And then we find that answer in the Lord. We were created in His image and His likeness, and we want to bear that image well.
So talk a bit about servant leadership and what they experience as a servant leader and sort of where they think that will take them.
Right. Well, our students get lots of opportunities for servant leadership. And one of the basic ways they do that is, and people could see this, I think, if they were around our students for a long time, is being good stewards of just their space and their time every single day. So there are service projects. There are times where they engage in, you know, Operation Christmas Child. There are times where they will go out and some of our students helped with the Heart of the City Playground. And, you know, there are different times for those things. But I think if people could see how our students are expected to steward their space well, we rent our space from a church in town. And so making sure that we leave that space for the church, that there's someone that's going to come clean up, but we really put the onus on them to make sure that they're responsible for their things. And so it really is as simple as it's really woven into what we do all day, every day. We assign our seniors to a kindergarten class or to a first grade class or a second grade class, and they go read to them and they spend time with them and they serve them. And so our students, we want them in kindergarten to think, I can't wait to be a junior or a senior in high school one day because I'm going to go back and love on kids in the way that I was loved on. And so it really is special. And then when we have some of our students that have graduated come back to see those kids that were in first grade and now they're in fifth grade or sixth grade, just run to them and love on them is truly a rich thing.
And that's the kind of experience you alluded to earlier, saying much of American education was that way when schools were small and when there were more rural schools maybe than there are today. So it has to be a great, great experience. Let's talk about the lost tools of learning. You mentioned that and said it really, you've probably already described it to some degree, but talk a bit more about those lost tools.
Absolutely. Well, Dorothy Sayers wrote an essay, and again, she really gave a talk that has become an essay, and it's called The Lost Tools of Learning because what she does is say to teachers, she calls them to train a type of person that is thoughtful, and she will say that, and we have adopted this. It's not just education is not just a transfer of information. It's formation. It's forming a boy or a girl into a type of man or woman for certain purposes that we've talked about earlier in our vision. But really, those tools are part of the seven liberal arts that we were talking about, the grammar, logic, and rhetoric. But then also, we don't want to lose the last four, which for us are all numbers. A lot of people think a classical school, you guys do humanities and you read a lot of big books. And that's true. We read books and we write and we do those things. But the last four are also deal with numbers. So the quadrivium is what those four are called. And it's arithmetic, geometry, astronomy, and music. That's numbers, numbers in time, numbers in space, and numbers in space and time. And so we believe God created an orderly world that works in certain ways for certain purposes that he has decreed. And so we want to know what that is. So our students spend a lot of time studying numbers. They spend a lot of time playing music. They start in kindergarten playing kazoos, and they go all the way up until high school. And we have strings, and the students learn about rhythm and melody and harmony because we believe there's a standard for truth. We believe there's a standard for goodness. We also believe there's a standard for beauty. We think there's a reason why Yo-Yo Ma sounds beautiful and why when my three-year-old bangs on a trash can, it doesn't sound very beautiful. So we want them to be able to recognize those things and to be able to, some degree, produce those things.
So every student takes music as part of their development process.
They do. It's required in kindergarten all the way up until their sophomore year, and they can elect to keep doing that junior, senior year, and some do, and some say, we've done music for 10 years and we're going to move on to something else. So.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I can imagine some that would move on. So do they take any online classes or is everything there personalized with your faculty?
Yeah, it's a good question. 98% of what we do is there on campus with our faculty. We do partner with Bryan College in Dayton, Tennessee, to do some dual enrollment with them. A college that's, you know, their Christian worldview and things are very like-minded, and so we've partnered with them. And our students typically leave with 12 to 18 hours of dual enrollment credit. And most of that is done on campus with our teachers that are qualified. They have graduate degrees and they can teach certain subjects. We do offer for our seniors the ability to take math online. And so that's the kind of the one class that right now with our smaller classes, we've let them through Bryan College take a pre-calculus class or a calculus one class. We've let them do that all online. And some of them choose to do that in the summer before their senior year. So it's one less thing to worry about. Some of them do that during their senior year. So that's kind of the one thing we've allowed Bryan to teach.
Well, and that's good. Tell us, this is Local Matters, and we are talking to Nick Duncan. Nick, tell us about your faculty and your staff at Highland Rim Academy.
Well, I say this all the time, and I'm not just trying to be humble and I told them this today at a faculty meeting. I'm not just trying to puff them up, but they really are the backbone of what we do. Administration, we have people that do marketing and development, and we can go out and say all these grandiose things and talk on the radio, but when people come see it, they really see that we're telling the truth about what we say about our teachers. They're highly qualified people, degrees specializing in, you know, for the younger ones, childhood education and pedagogy and things like that. For our older students, our 7th through 12th grade students, our accrediting body doesn't require a state of Tennessee teacher licensure, but they require certain amount of hours specialized in the field that they teach. So, for instance, we have a lady who is a medical doctor who teaches our biology and our anatomy and physiology. And even though she's not certified specifically through the state of Tennessee, she's very highly qualified to teach biology and anatomy and physiology. And she loves the Lord and she loves the kids and she wants to use a study of life to disciple them and to teach them things about how the Lord designed them, designed their world, designed their bodies. And so it's very rigorous, but it's also, even when we're talking about biology and we're talking about cells, it really is a way for our teachers to disciple our students. And so that's just one example, but they're all so very highly qualified. And then the thing that I love most about them is they could be doing lots of other things, and many of them with master's degrees and doctorates. The Lord has really blessed us with a great faculty. They could be doing lots of stuff, making a lot more money than working at a little private school in Cookeville, Tennessee. But they choose to give a lot of those things up and sacrifice and show our students what that servant leadership is like, is that they're sacrificing a lot in their lives and for their families to be there teaching them.
It is truly a sense of dedication when you see faculty that do that, put the student first, and commit their life to doing that. Well, what do students go on to do? Often they'll go on to college, but talk about where some of your students have gone from the program.
Sure, I'd love to. Most of our students have gone to college. We had one student in our very first graduating class that as long as I had known him, since he was a younger boy, had wanted to be a Marine. And he fulfilled that calling in his life and became a Marine. And he's been serving our country overseas for the last few years.
Wow.
But most of our students have gone to college, many of them to Tennessee Tech. We've had some students. We have one student attending a university in Dallas, Texas. We have some students who have gone to Union University in Jackson, Tennessee. And we have one student who got married just a few months after she graduated, and she and her husband have a beautiful baby, and she's staying home taking care of him. And so I really do feel like we say we're not a college prep school. Our students have all been prepared for the college that they wanted to go to. Our ACT score has averaged a 26.
Wow.
For our juniors and seniors the whole time that we've existed. And that's several points above the national average.
Yes.
And so they're all very prepared to do whatever it is. If it's be a soldier, if it's be a mom, if it's be a dad, if it's be a worker, if it's be a student at the university level, they've all gone on and thus far have all been very successful.
That's a great tribute. And the ACT score is sort of a national leveler to say those are talented students.
Right.
They can go wherever they want. That's great. Well, our guest today on Local Matters has been Nick Duncan, the headmaster at Highland Rim Academy. And Nick, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for the great work you're doing. And please convey our best to all your faculty and staff and students at Highland Rim.
I will do that. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here.